Hi, everyone.
Whoops. Let me make sure everybody's mute. Okay, just wanted to say to those of you who still are called Eugene, and when it's not actually their name, we're working on it, but I'm sure we'll fix it, but we're not quite sure what's going on. Eugene thought it was fixed, and Jan Marie, I can see you're still Eugene. We've got too many Eugenes. We'll fix it, I promise. I mean, Zoom will fix it. Eugene, I'm telling, I just texted Eugene to tell her, and she says I don't see it. Anyway. Jan Marie, can you hear me, Eugene? Are you there? Okay, doesn't matter. Welcome, everyone. Think nobody's new, as far as I can tell. Hope you're okay. I've just been a bit wobbled by the news myself. So, well, here we are. We're going to hold fort for those mad people out there because they need help. That's what I think. All right, guys. When you feel comfortable and settled, people are still coming in, but make yourselves at home and allow your eyes to close. Sometimes I feel absolutely not equipped to guide a meditation, and then I realize, well, actually, that makes you very, very well equipped to guide a meditation. Because I imagine many of us here now, right this moment, are one way or the other feeling overwhelmed or wobbled. Stirred up. And th there's nothing to do about that, really. There isn't anything to do about anything that is here. Quite the opposite, not to do anything, I guess, and to be with. And it's such a relief, really, to gather and hold hands so we can be with together. Makes a difference. And of course, each one of us has something particular in. Very, very personal to be with moments by moment. And then there's a sort of common denominator because we do share the same world somehow. We share the same, well, we share the same being, but our thoughts are private up to a certain point. I think there's a field, a sort of psychic field. A collective field where we feel and maybe even think the same things, have intuitions, and perhaps even bodily, energetic experiences that Maybe, who knows? It doesn't matter, but we do know that we share very, very deeply. And the ultimate thing that we share, it cannot be named. Cannot be anythinged. It is here and now. Makes the here and now. And I guess when we gather here, we are sort of dropping into this deepest sharing place. We're not really engaging with what's happening in the world, our stories, our lives, the stories of our lives, which may be very active, very intense. We're more with the immediacy of our moment to moments. Experience. Not referring to the past or projecting ahead. For a little while, we pause that. It's a relief. Their only reference is this unnameable presence. Not the past, not the future, just now. Obviously, the story may be still. Active, the thoughts. But maybe if that's the case, you can feel the thinking. Feel the thinkingness. There's a feeling, a sensation that goes along with thinking. And maybe just feeling that.
welcoming that. It's a localization in the head area often. Not trying to make it stop, just feeling hello. Feeling the activity of thinking. Perhaps being lucky enough to feel that the sensations that we are, that you are aware of, that are being felt, are arising and not in a void, but in, I don't know, I don't want to name it. Not in a void, not in a vacuum. The sensation, the tension in your forehead and your temples, and your shoulders. Arising, they're arising in something ever so natural, of which they are a part. And the same with the feelings that may be underlying the thinking, underlying our stories, underlying the world news or yeah, whatever is here for you. Does maybe there isn't a big feeling, maybe there is, maybe it's more like a, I don't know, something more subtle. A kind of emotional tension, perhaps, but perhaps something very, very identifiable like fear or grief. Confusion. It doesn't matter, really. There's bound to be something because we're alive and we're human. And that feeling, whatever it is that is being felt this moment, is being felt and therefore is being welcomed. Is being felt and therefore is being handed over back to God. Maybe that's what we do when we come to the shrine, just hand ourselves back to God moment by moment. Of course, we are God, but we could say that perhaps we could say that each one of us is God that's playing at having forgotten that it's God, playing a game, pretty Crazy game, if you ask me sometimes. But an also a beautiful game of self-discovery. But when you come to meditation, the blindfolded God that you are, maybe you just take the blindfold off and you hand yourself over back to the ultimate. You take care of it. Please, here. Take this in breath, this out breath. It's yours. Take me. Take the weight of my body, my shoulders, my heart. My whole body. Take the weight of my tears. Allow, unfold me. We ask. Comb me out. Wash me. And when I say all this, I'm really not, and at least for myself, it doesn't feel like I'm rushing to dissolve a feeling, an emotion. It's more like allowing infinite space and time for whatever is here to really be here. It takes time, I guess, for things to be reorchestrated according to the truth. For the body to be realigned with its true. Vibration. It does it in its own time, as long as it wants. Maybe that's what we do. Maybe that's the trajectory of a human life. It's simply to slowly, slowly be remembered by the totality, remember and be remembered. And when we come to meditation, it's like going to the hammam, to the spa. We get a real dose of remembering. We get an immersion. So don't feel you have to do anything at all. When you're at the hammam, I say hammam because in Paris there's this wonderful mosque and they have this old-fashioned hammam, and I love going there because it's not a fancy spa. It's this sort of earthy place with earthy women. It's men and women don't go at the same time, which is also very lovely, sort of respectful, and you can completely, I mean, it takes time. You walk in there from busy city and you're buzzing, but then you get given these black soap and so those sponges that are quite rough on the skin, and then you go and you soak for a bit, and then you get tay grabbed by one of those women. They let you lie down on the steamy tiles, and she just rubs your whole body with that sponge, and it's pretty intense. And maybe that's meditation too. It's like, except maybe a little less intense in meditation. Don't get the rubbing part, but you get the soaking part, steaming part. Or maybe the rubbing part. But it's very kind, very loving. Because it's no small feat to be a human being. And we need our hammam moments. We need to be pampered a bit. We need to let go. Sometimes to have a cry. Certainly a sigh. And perhaps for some of us, sometimes we get a little glimpse of of a body that is recognizing its true substance. You know, that we get a little glimpse of our skin, the pores of our skin relaxing, literally relaxing. We feel the space beyond the body is loving. The earth under the body, made out of something that is benevolent. And then maybe we're called back to the density and the weight of the body, the suffering of the body. And so we go to the place of suffering in the body. When I say we go, it's not a sort of smothering, motherly attitude. It's more like we turn towards the place of suffering and we listen with our hearts. Our hearts still aligned with the spaciousness, the openness, and we listen to the place of suffering that is yearning for the openness. We just listen. Listening is a high, high frequency, true listening. Listening is another word for unconditional acceptance. Allowing. But sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes nothing's possible. Just showing up, closing my eyes. That's about it. You have to see how it is for you. Trusting, even if there's nothing happening. Oh la la, something just happened. My candle almost burst into flames, and the wax is dripping on my carpet. Sometimes maybe there is a candle overflowing. That's maybe a good thing in the shrine. But sometimes the candle, the flame is very dim, and what can we do? Just be. I guess what I was about to say before the candle episode was that each one of us, we have a very intimate and personal relationship with meditation. When I say meditation, I really mean with the invisible. In other words, it's not out there, it's right in here. Right at the very center of your being. But the mind, is tricky. It thinks I've lost it. I need magic words to hand it over back to me, blah blah blah. But no. You can't lose it. You can feel like you lost it, but that's different. Thing is, it's not even that it's intimate and at the very center of you. It is you. And I know you know that, and I know we hear that a lot, and because we hear it so much, it becomes sort of meaningless spiritual jargon. And so our task is to re-sacralize this knowing. By knowing, there's no other way. Knowing what I know ever so deeply. So deep isn't quite right. Ever so close isn't quite right. But the felt sense, the thinking sense, the perceiving sense will always seem to be at a distance. So that's natural. It's natural. Because often we still we want to feel it, we want to think it, we want to perceive it. There's nothing to reach for, in fact. But it's paradoxical because it does feel like we do have to, and that does feel that we lose contact. And so there is something to do until there's nothing to do. In other words, what we are most deeply doesn't need anything, is ever present, never lost. But the body mind world, our thinking, our feeling, our sensing, our perceiving, sometimes needs a, often needs a spa treatment. A spa treatment for the body so it can remember its borderlessness, weightlessness, interconnectedness with the totality. Spa treatment for the mind so they can have a bath in the now. In the now, the mind can have a break from referencing the past and projecting in the future and working hard to safeguard the destiny of this person. The safety, security of this person who sometimes feels like a fragment, not always, but sometimes. And in the spa, in the hammam, the mind, thoughts can just come and go and be seen to arise and be seen to disappear, just like the sound of this voice. They're having a spa treatment, free to swim in and out. And the senses are having a spa treatment too, because, for example, you hear the sound of this voice. Of course, you are also understanding the words, but if you just pay attention to the hearing, and you feel your ears, and you feel the ripple of this voice in your ears, but then actually you can perhaps relax, relax your ears, relax the hearing, allowing the sounds to unfold and dissolve in this open space. Nothing to grasp for, nothing to move away from in terms of hearing and maybe also smelling, tasting. So that's the spa treatment for the senses. And the body again in the spa, the body is seen to be like a cloud of sensations, temperature, heat, cool textures, pulsations, sense of weight, all of that is like a dance of living intensities that's allowed to unfold. Doesn't have to feel, the feeling doesn't have to look like anything remotely like a human body in the spa. And the energies in the pelvis, in the perineum, the energies in the belly and the heart area and the throat. Behind the third eye. They're also part of this body and free in the spa. And the breath. The breath is free to move as it pleases and to dance with the bodily sensations as it pleases. Deeper breath breathing, perhaps. More sensual, more tactile. That's for the body mind. But I, the deepest sense, the deepest, most intimate place, in a way, is the spa. That your body's moved, by the way. I'm talking a lot and not necessarily tending to a body that might need to move. So feel free right now to eyes closed, stretching, moving, being moved. If you're still in the spa, then you're maybe in warm water and there's steam and warmth and space, and the body can be moved by ripples of goodness. No right or wrong, just see what happens when you just let your body be a little bit free. Your hands touching whatever they want to touch, perhaps hands may become spa hands. They might like to do what they do. Don't be shy because our eyes are closed and we're in the spa. Nobody, we're with whatever, it's safe. Feel those hands really free to connect with the skin, the face, the shoulders, the breath. Moving. Not knowing where this movement is going, where the touch is going. Trusting every moment it might morph into something else. A gesture, a rubbing, a shaking. The arms, they might float away from the body. A little dance might arise. In fact, let a little dance arise, even if you're sitting, a little dance of this moment. With a breath, a little dance, unfurling. A little dance for the shrine, for meditation, in meditation. Very intimate, it's your dance. It's your dance for you. Your body, mind dancing. For the invisible you. And when it wants, it relaxes, your body relaxes right back. Maybe feeling a little bit more of this open, borderless feeling. Just a bit. We can't feel it, I said earlier, but now I say, you can. Sometimes we can a bit. It's like a vibration. Because the body's relaxed a little bit, let go. Because the sense of being a body has relaxed a bit. Being a separate body. Being an isolated body has relaxed a bit because I feel the weight surrender to gravity. I feel the touch of the air on my skin. the touch of my skin on Ellen's voice in my ears, the breath, my in and my out, not so distinguished, and the silence that seems to permeate everything, permeate the sound, the cells, the sensation, the earth. Doesn't mean that there's not still the body of suffering. It's still there, it's fine. Maybe still some fear, maybe still some this or that. Of course. But you're allowed to take off into the openness, into the silence beyond your felt experience. You're not leaving anything out, but you can give yourself permission to merge with the vastness. Sort of letting things be, ignoring things, benevolent indifference. Drawn to the great silence. And your breath is a real ambassador. Yes. Okay, friends, we'll have a break till 1:30 and come back. Thank you. Go gently. Can't find my glasses.
Does anybody know how to get rid of a huge clump of wax on the rug? If you have any thoughts, let me know. Nobody?
I
Sure.
think you put a, I put a paper towel on it and then I iron it.
Okay. And it's so, and the paper towel sucks it up
Yeah.
because it's quite thick. All right. I will try it and report back to you, Claire.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Ice and ship it free, says Rose. Okay, I'll try ice and ship it free. Oh, okay, ice, you mean ice and then ship. Sorry, I need you to be more specific, Rose. Tell me. Oh, it's here and here. That's okay. All right, enough about my wax problem. Somebody needs to be muted. Hold on. Okay. Can you still hear me? Great. Okay. Well, please feel free to speak up or ask or share. I hope my meditation wasn't too. First, we go this way, then we go that way. Felt a bit like that,
It
but
wasn't to anything.
I think I was quite aware that, I think reading the news just before coming to the shrine is not always a good idea. Anyway, please be feel free to speak or share. If you have something. Mary Luther, you wanting to say something?
I want just to say about the solution of the ironing is the best
The what?
ironing, ironing over.
I thought you meant irony, like being ironic, and I thought, Yeah, say more about that. Thank you, Maria. I'll try it. Thank you.
Yes, it's the best one.
Okay. You. Yes.
Hi there.
Hi, Elisa. I think it was your, is this your first time?
No, I was here a couple of times ago. I just want to share that I was in the news.
Were you? What do you mean?
The news, I'm in Israel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, just a couple of minutes before 8:30, we got out of the bomb shelter. I didn't know if I was going to be here. So crazy, crazy times. But it's was really a blessing to join, to just
Where are you in Israel?
connect with something beautiful. I'm in the center of the country. I'm about 15 kilometers northeast of Tel Aviv. But the I mean, if it, anyone who hasn't seen the news, Iran sent hundreds of ballistic missiles to all of Israel. Yeah. So this time, So
We're with you, Aliza. I mean, what to
yeah, I
say?
know.
Say what to say?
Yeah. No, it's good. It's just very good to be connected.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank
Are
you very
you?
much.
You're so welcome. Are you well surrounded, well supported? Family, friends?
Yes. I mean, I'm not alone at home. We have a family WhatsApp to know where everybody is, and and I mean, there's a lot of, I'm sure there's a lot of chattering right now. And I just said, I'm not going to the chattering. I'm coming to this quiet space, and I'm glad I did.
I'm glad you did too, Alizon. Come back and we'll think of, we're all in it together, but those of you who are right over there, it's unspeakable. And
Thank you.
we care. Go gently, take care. Just want to say that anybody's welcome to speak, and it doesn't have to be spirit. You can speak your fear, you could speak anything really, and you don't, the silence is beautiful. And or yeah, I mean, I don't, not just fear, anything. Or a prayer or a word sometimes, just.
I would like to just say, I just have a lot of gratitude to be here. That's about all I can really say at the moment. But thank you, Ellen, for this space, and thank you everybody who's here in it.
Thank you for using the word prayer, because my tears come and I The question came to my mind, what good are tears right now? So the your answer to that I took in was, these tears can be a prayer.
They certainly are a prayer.
Hi, Ellen. This is Ralph.
Hi, Ralph.
It's my second time here. I'm from Amsterdam. I
Welcome.
have a if you because you said I can ask anything, I'll take that liberty.
Yeah.
So my issue is a little bit domestic and of course trivial in the world affairs.
No. Mm. Not at all.
I was an addict for 20 years, and I'm in recovery now 23 years, and I've been on the non-dual path for the past 17 years, and I live with my mother because of a divorce and a few other issues, and then you have the holidays, Easter and Christmas and things like that, and then my brother comes over, and he has been angry with me and my entire life, and it seems that it's is increasing every year, and he blocked me from WhatsApp, but I have to meet him at those days, and I can I have tried everything I have tried everything with him. To solve the issues, but it only got worse. And I also tried staying away, but that didn't help either because then he was angry that I wasn't there. But how on a practical level, how can I behave when he is around me with his I can see in his face that he's still really angry. When I see him, I can see in his neck and his face he's really angry, and he is about to explode at any second. And that does affect me. So, but how do I stay as awareness or as the peace or the how do we kind of
It's me, man. I don't think you, maybe that's not what's meant to happen here. You don't have to worry about staying as the peace. In a way, that would be violent to you, you know, but violent, a violence. And I just want to say, first of all, that when you said this is trivial compared to what goes on in the world, it isn't trivial at all, because what gives rise to what's happening in the world is precisely what takes place in our very domestic lives that we don't tend to, and then, you know, we can see the direct link. And then your concern is, how can I, you know, how can I be perfect? You absolutely cannot be perfect in this situation. I don't know the details of what happened with you and your brother, and this is not the place, Ralph, but I just encourage you to feel your feelings in the situations, and start there. Start with your own feelings. Perhaps you don't want to be there when your brother comes. Perhaps you discover that you really need to protect yourself from his. I don't know. I really, there are many, many s solutions, but the first thing would be for you to be with yourself. Like, be real. Be okay with your own feelings. You might be pissed off at your brother for for all I know, or you may have lots of contradictory, difficult feelings, and they need space. This sounds like a pretty layered
complicated situation, which again, you know, we don't have the time, but I don't have a spiritual answer for you. You know all the spiritual answers because you've been on the non-dual path for 17 years and you're coming here and they have not given you the answer. So something else is tugging at your sleeve, which might be much more ordinary and human than your spiritual ideas may like, you know, because there's nothing worse and more horrid than our family conflicts and difficulties. And we don't want them. Each one of us have our own ways, but they're so painful. You know, they're so painful. Go ahead, if you want to.
Yeah, I was just wondering whether you had a little suggestion how I could kind of be this loving presence in this hostility.
If you haven't managed to be this loving presence, then I have nothing more to add. Or you have listened, I can tell by the use of your words that you have been listening to many teachers, or maybe one or two teachers who have been giving you all sorts of pointers to recognize that your essential self is this loving presence. So first of all, you don't have to do anything. You are that. We all are that. Even your brother is that. And your mother but the first place to attend to is you, because how can you be loving to your enemy if you don't first welcome your own feelings? And it may be that you've neglected that a lot. I don't know. I don't know you, Andrew, but many of us do that. It's too painful. It's too messy. It's too complicated. It's too messy. It's too scary, because it's the roots of many a family conflict is in our childhood, where it was really, really scary or messy. And so here we're in the psychological realm, and it's just as spiritual as any other realm. I mean, luckily your brother, he only shows up for Easter and Christmas. You know, you could choose not to deal with it and say, well, you know what, I'm going to go away at Easter or Christmas, if that's the only moment. Or you could think, okay, I need to face this a little bit more deeply than I have. Bringing with you all your spiritual sensitivity, because I feel it, you know, it's obvious, but you know, the loving kindness or the loving, whatever you call, how you said it, that is a spontaneous occurrence when we in our lives, because we are interested in our essential nature, and we have moments where we glimpse it, and we've been on the path for a long time, and then we are in a difficult situation, and through grace, the loving sort of impersonal attitude rises. We cannot manufacture that. It is completely graceful. The very best we can do when it doesn't arise is be present. Be present, not have entertained big ideas about a spiritual position or attitude, but be present, feel what's here. Feel the defensiveness, feel the anger, feel the maybe the great pain. You know, of course, we don't know the story here, your story, Andrea. Maybe another time you'll tell us. It's a little bit too short. I don't want.
Yeah, I've tried avoiding, but I was kind of thinking that we should avoid stuff and kind of just be with it and embrace it and stay with it instead of and feel it and kind of in an I don't. Yeah, I wanted to say the word accepting, but it's open space. Eh? So it's not really accepting. Eh?
Ralph. I called you Andrew, but it's Ralph. All those beautiful concepts you're saying, accepting and feeling and da, 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 and of course I just said be with it. But really, I think in your case, maybe you need to give yourself a break with all that sort of tyrannical spiritual program. Maybe next time your brother comes, just be Ralph. Just be Ralph. Forget about welcoming and being close and being this and being that. Just approach it fresh and be curious. What are you experiencing? Just be curious. Don't even be accepting or blah, 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 blah. Just be curious.
And yeah, okay. I heard you. And it's just see what happens in the moment. And yeah, okay. No.
Allow yourself to just be a Ralph, not a spiritual Ralph, just Ralph.
Yeah, yeah.
A nice guy, but just Ralph. And just as an experiment, forget that you are non-dual spirit, just Ralph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Maybe you punch your brother in the nose. But you might find yourself doing something very unspiritual. But
yeah, don't plan it. You say, yeah, don't plan it.
Don't plan it.
Don't plan it.
I can tell you want a little something. So yeah, don't plan it. Don't plan it. Don't spiritualize it, and just see what happens. And maybe then write it all up, and come back and when is he coming next? Next time?
At 1st of November.
Okay, so 1st of November, you go on the experiment and then you come back to the following shrine meeting and tell us how it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you feel it.
Now, the only reason why I asked the question is because because there was room to ask the question. Absolutely. And also... I kind of think that I already know the answer, and maybe that's not that's why I asked the question. Eh? So don't be too sure that you know everything. So that's why I took the risk to ask the question. Okay, thank you.
Nice to meet you, Ralph.
Thank you, Ellen.
Ellen.
Yes. Who's talking?
Yeah, it's me.
Hi, Maria Rosa.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. You know, because the whole setup the whole intention is to be the listener, to be the welcoming one to everything that arises, right? At all times.
I'm not sure that is the intention.
No.
It's more that's the intention. I mean, and maybe sometimes it's difficult to guide meditations and not to give the impression that that is the intention, because we use that language, welcoming, blah, 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 blah. But yeah. I think the intention is more to realize that when we pause, when we stop, when we become more, when we're just listening rather than engaging with our experience, we realize we have glimpses that the welcoming of experience is effortless and is happening moment by moment. And to begin with, we seem to make an effort. We make an effort. We follow the guidance, and we try to welcome. We try to be to be the openness. But at some point, it's as if we realize that something gives. It's like suddenly there's a glimpse that it's not a doing. Yeah. So there is a moment where there is a doing. Like, okay, I'm going to try to welcome. I'm looking. I'm following the meditation. And then sometimes, and for a short time, there's this it's a recognition that welcoming is what we are, not something we do. And then we're back again it's a back and forth. Does that make sense, Maria Rosa?
So my question is, yeah, it does. Yes. Because if I'm welcoming, then who is welcoming? I'm going in the direction of, if somebody needs an antidepressant, and the antidepressant is the happy pill. So then you have a lot less.
Well,
I guess.
I mean, I don't know that antidepressants are the happy pill necessarily.
Well, you know, I read a book once that called it the happy pill, and I had to laugh about it. This, I don't know, in Israeli.
A theoretical question, or is it somebody you know, or you? Or...
Yeah, I took it for some time.
Well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with taking an antidepressant myself. I mean, I don't take them, but if I was really struggling with anxiety or depression, maybe for a period of time I would, just to balance the body mind, you know. These meditations are, it's irrelevant what is going on. I mean, it's not irrelevant. It's very relevant. Of course it's relevant, but there's no hierarchy, very depressed or on antidepressants or happy, or it's just what's happening. I guess, but then, you know, so deciding to take an antidepressant is a very serious consideration, because it does have side effects. It does have, it has an effect on your brain chemistry, and therefore on your, but I don't think that that's a spiritual consideration in a way. It is a spiritual consideration because it's, you want to do the loving thing for your body mind, the correct thing, but it doesn't change your true nature. It doesn't change your deep self. That is untouched by anything that you do, really. But I guess maybe your question is it, am I in alignment with the truth if I take an antidepressant, or am I tampering with my happiness?
That's my point.
Yes. I don't think you're tampering with your happiness, but I think it's a good question that may not be straightforward, the answer, but is it the correct thing? Is it aligned with my deep feeling of who I am, of what the body is? Is it a yes? And you can actually just say, ask your deep self and listen, you know, it might be a yes, might be a yes. It might be the most loving thing you could do to relieve. I suspect it's a yes, Maria Rosa, for now. It's not a defeat, you know, like I think we live in a culture where
maybe that can be seen as a abdication or and spiritually numbing or whatever. I really don't think so. Quite the opposite. I think if it's, yeah, it's really your call. You're the only one who knows, but it can be exactly the right thing on all levels. And then down the line, it's no long, it's hard stuff, man.
Thank you.
Hug, hug, hug. All right, everyone. Be thinking about you all. And I know we'll all be thinking about we all. Take care. See you in a couple of weeks, some of you, I hope. Maria Rosa, you can write to me if you want. Good luck with the brother, Ralph. Bye, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ellen.
Bye. Bye, Hilka. Bye-bye.
Bye, Ellen.
Bye. Bye, Zuzu. Bye,
thank
bye.
You.
Bye, Richard.
Bye. Thank you. Bye. Take care. Everyone.
Bye, Jennifer. Bye, Rose. Bye, Maria. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Kyra.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ludmila.